plenty of places to go listen to all these artists, which is awesome. That's the best part about where we are now, is there's unlimited music for people to sample. We try to take the best of the best and bring them here every week, but you have all the internet to seek it out yourself if you'd prefer. This choice that you make here, Nilia for Yanya, my friend Mike sent me a song by her, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago, 6 years ago, called Midnight Sun. And I didn't think she was going to end up being the artist she turned into. I thought she was a straight up R&B artist, but she's really expanded that palette. And this was a song from last year that was a heavy played, heavy presence on Hi-Fi Dream called Cold Heart. I was really happy to see you pulled this out without even knowing it was on the station. So
that's so
talk
funny
about it.
That if it was on such heavy rotation that I didn't hear it one time. But
that's relatively speaking on Hi-Fi. That means like at most two times a day. You know what I mean?
Right. But what it speaks to me is that I was like one of those where I'm tuning in at the wrong time. And the sound of this song, though, is addictive, like this beat. And I hadn't heard of this artist until my sister-in-law mentioned it. Have you heard of Niloufer Yanya? And because she'll be coming to Bottle Rock in May. And the reason why is my sister-in-law lives in Napa, like right down the street from where the Bottle Rock is. Okay. And so she's always trying to say, hey, anyone want to come? And, you know, you can stay with us and we can walk there. And so I think she was trying to say, you want to see this artist? And at first I was like, I've never heard of her. Did a search and started listening. I liked a lot of the things I heard. This newer release is very different, I think, than her older release. So she's this UK artist named after a Turkish pop singer with the same name, taught herself guitar, and so kind of a savant, I guess, but very breathy sound in this whole album, I feel like. From last year, it's like 90% breath and really pumped up. You hear mostly air. She sings really soft and dainty, like high. But some of the older stuff I've heard from her is lower range, less breath, and more of like belting, kind of sound like Florence and the Machine. So it's like a change for her to switch. And I like that. She's got this dynamic. She can sing this way or that way. And because otherwise I would say her voice is just kind of in the middle for me, like neither great nor terrible. But I like that she modulates and changes the way she performs. And so it might be interesting in a concert live. Overall, I like her sound, and she's got a lot of feeling and a vibe that I can relate to. So I had a little trouble remembering how to spell her name or say her name, because these particular letters, N-I-L-U-F, don't like for some reason my brain doesn't grok them. And I think certain people just can't pronounce certain names, even though someone can phonetically say. And I noticed that too. But for this particular name, Niloufer, I had to read it like 10 times and say it and learn it before I could actually reproduce it. Like if you had asked me last week, what's that artist that you're going to play for the number 4 slot? I was like, there's some letters.
It took me like a year before I was even comfortable saying the name, because the what did they call the two dots over the U?
Well, in German it's an umlaut, but she's British, so I don't.
Yeah,
Turkish,
so seeing that, and then there's the dot from the I, it made it feel like there was way more going on. So I was like, there's probably a mispronunciation happening on my end. So I was afraid to say it until I heard other people say it. And then even now, I'm still not 100% sure Niloufer is right. But I thought she was a straight up soul singer when I first heard her. That's how she presented on the earlier music. What I was blown away by is every single she put out in the last year, basically, she puts out an album and then she'll put out a bunch of singles. And all of them were different styles. Some were like sort of drum and bass. Some were soul. Some were like kind of more rock or indie rock.
Yeah.
Just all over the place. But I would say her common ground, or her neutral, is definitely baseline is soul. That's what I think is happening in here. Because she's trying to sound like a sultry soul singer a lot of times.
Yeah.
Not like a belter.
Right.
Kind of like Sid from the internet is like that, or her at times is like that. But I really like her, and I was confused at what I was really, you know, who I'm listening to and what she really is at this point. But I think this song probably sums up her sound pretty well and is probably the best example, other than Midnight Sun, which I think is the best song. This is probably the best example of what she more or less sounds like.
Mm-hmm. There's another
track that
Cold
Heart, by the way.
Cold Heart? Yeah, this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's another song that I really like on the same album that's got more of a rock feel to it that I had a hard time picking between the two. But I like the groove on this song a lot, the beat.
I'm curious if it was another song we played. But anyway, so this will be her leading off the set, Nyla Ferjana, Cold Heart, which is a song from late 2025, may have been like July or August. Followed by an artist called Chris Coleman from 1989. The track is called Shine, and it's kind of like soulful house music, but very early, almost like before house really blew up. So it was an interesting take between how it ties together the 80s sound and the 90s sound. And I'm very excited to listen with you in headphones. You ready?
Cool. Yeah.
All right, let's roll. Nyla Ferjana, The Deep Dive.
Hi-Fi Dreams Deep Dive.
The deep dive on Hi-Fi Dream, that was Chris Coleman from 1989. The song is called Shine. It's the club mix version edited. And then before that was Willis's Choice, Nyla for Yanya, who's kind of blowing up now on an international stage. Cold Heart is that song, which came out in 2025. So a little taste of something very new and something pre-house, as far as house's mainstream popularity. It was like right before that all started happening, but you could hear what was about to happen later in the 90s, in the early and mid 90s especially, where soul and house would kind of come together and create its own force of nature in music. But that's like I was telling you in my notes, I love those like more slowed down, temped down house tracks that are like between 112 and 117 beats per minute, which feels a little slow compared to like modernized techno or house.
That's
what did
right.
you think of it?
I could tell. You mentioned it first, and so I knew that listening to it. But definitely obvious from the beginning, there's a little bit more patience with this song, with that groove. And it's enough straight ahead, like vocals that are so positive, like Let the Love Shine. And to me, I heard a little bit of freestyle vocals, a little bit in there, not in the chorus, but in the way she was singing most of her verses. And that reminiscent of that era, I feel like that her vocals fit. But I wasn't very keen on house music at this time. I was listening to still, I guess, punk and beginnings of techno, if anything. So I missed out on that at the time. This song, to me, sounds so bassy. Like there's this thump in the low-frequency bass that when I heard it on my little speakers, I said, oh, man, there's something going on there. I need to put on my good headphones. So that's why I'm wearing the good headphones today. Getting my ears all hot from all the sealing, the seal over your ears. But it's worth it because this thump, like, goes through the walls, man. It's like, it sounds good on anything, any speaker, but it sounds really good when you got some bass. So it's got a soul, the song. And it reminds me of more of the feeling of coming out of a rave after all night and you're getting outside and the sun is just coming up and like hitting in your eyes and you're still squinting because you've been in the dark all night. But then the love shines on you and her voice is just so open. And it's more like greeting the morning sunrise versus deep in the house at 1 a.m. like you're sweating and you're deep in the basement. That's a different vibe. This song is more like coming out, and it was nice. I really liked it.
I like your sort of pairing it with being in a rave or in a club, because there is a comfort in that, by the way, when you're dancing amongst the sea of people that are dancing to the same beat, the same moment in time. There's a communal feeling about going into a rave or a club that's playing like house music or techno. Yeah. If you know, right. But there's something also that I love about when house music is good to listen to by yourself, if that makes sense. There's something special about like a headphone house record or a more laid back tempo where you're listening it as a solo experience as opposed to a dancing experience. Like even if you're dancing in your own room, like sometimes when I'm playing music, like I'll find myself kind of just like drifting around the room dancing, you know? This is one of those really good songs, but I would also probably enjoy it, like you said, at like 4 a.m. in a club if they were playing it as like sort of a momentum breaker, if you will, to change the mood a little bit.
Yeah, I get it totally. There's a vibe that's shared in the room and energy when the DJ like plays just the right thing and it hits and you can see it. You can see it. People, their eyes light up and you're all in the same like wavelength. That's one thing. This song does stand on its own as a in your head. It's got so much uplift and tempo that gets straight to your soul. So yeah, it can be appreciated, I think, either way. But more so, I agree, as just you and nature, you and the earth.
Just in your own mental space. I wanted to say this too. One of the people sometimes will say, like, how do you find these songs? Like you even said, like, where'd you find this one? This was what I would say is one of my true deep dives, right? So I've mentioned this a few times. If you really want to find out about music and the lineage of it, especially when it comes to going backwards, go to your favorite artist and then find out what they listen to and what inspired them. That's an easy way. And then you could take whatever that you find there and then trace that even back further. And before you know it, you will see the lineage of all your favorite new artists, right? As a young person, say, or somebody who likes a lot of new music. And I will do that with a lot of, especially electronic music, where I want to find the very obscure things from back in the day that sound like they could have been made today. So a lot of times I'll look at like playlists from artists and like Amtrak, say, for argument's sake, and I'll be like, what is he listening to? Or what is he DJing? When he's DJing, what is he playing? And you'll hear these types of songs that have very little audience, but they caught it and it influenced their music. And right. it's so fun to do that. And this was one of those cases where it was just me going into other artists' playlists to find songs that are, you know, different.
That's a good suggestion.
And a while back.
I have another suggestion is sometimes you can find new music by just looking in the collection that you already have.
Great. Because that's a great point.
As we were talking about the English beat from the earlier songs, is how many albums they had and what they were. And I looked in my record collection, I realized I have all three of the English beat albums, including the song that I chose. And I probably haven't listened to these albums in total, like through and through ever, because I'm more the guy who collected these records, because I knew that when I saw it at Rasputin's for a dollar, that I should get it. There was something in me that said, this is, these guys are important. And I knew some of their music, but not all of it. And I got them all, you know, this is $3 worth of music right here. But it's kind of priceless when you think about it.
Oh, it's so cool. I can't believe you found it. And I've told you before when we were talking, I have the one album pulled here. I have two of them in my collection from the English Beat. And the one you have, I didn't even think was a real release because I've never seen it with my own two eyes in a record store. I thought it was just a British release maybe or an EP. And I don't even know how you stumbled on it. I've not seen it. And I go every week to the record store. This isn't just a thing where I go once every couple of months. I go every week and look through used sections in different stores. So anyway, good find on that. But that's a great idea for somebody who wants to explore music. Go search the used bins in any record store. Rasputin Streetlight, Needle to the Groove, On the Corner, which is a great like curated collection over in San Jose. Also, the Needle to the Groove up in Fremont, which is a great spot. I went there last week. They all have like these used bins. People sell them back, and you will find some gems for like $5, $3, $2. Just being willing to flip through some records. It's so cool. Speaking of going backwards, this is a group that I do need to spend more time with. I've proven myself wrong about Oingo Boingo. I thought they were Dead Man's Party or Weird Science because were like kind of a novelty group back in the day, but they have equal parts novelty and like very legitimate pop music. You chose a very legitimate pop song called We Close Our Eyes by them. Talk about your choice. Why did you choose this?
You know what's funny is I wanted to play an Oingo Boingo song for a couple shows now, and last show you actually mentioned Oingo Boingo as one of the producers with A$AP Rocky.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, damn, he stole my thunder. But actually, the sound of Oingo Boingo, I totally agree. They're kind of always been a little goofy and whimsical in their approach to music, specifically Danny Elfman. But I thought, man, he's kind of like an icon in the industry, especially because he's done a lot of music film scores. Yeah. I think it started with Batman and then like Beetlejuice and just really goofy, upbeat, whimsical music and of varying genre, but mostly, I guess the word is frenetic and in a jazzy way. And he uses a lot of instrumentation. So he's kind of a genius in his own way, but maybe never found like the popular, I don't know. They were very popular on Go Boingo.
Yeah. And he's a legend, you know, when it comes to, I think, what's his name? What's the guy's name?
Tim Burton.
The director. What?
Yeah.
Tim Burton uses him a lot, like for
exactly for his films. So wacky director.
Made a fortune. Right. Yeah.
Wacky music goes with wacky film.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting this guy and this arc that Danny Elfman has had. And he actually has a very interesting voice. He's like part baritone, part tenor, so baritenor. And on this song, I chose what I think is one of their prettier songs. Like, they have a lot of goofy songs. This one's a softer, more beautiful song, and it's kind of a love song, I guess. But it's got a lot of layers, and it's all Danny Elfman singing. So he's multi-layering it like Brian Wilson would, and lots of instrumentation. but it sounds really nice, and especially part where my favorite part is the hook where he sings like "We close our eyes," like that, just that melody. I could listen; it's an earworm for me. So I'm really glad we could talk about Danny Elfman, because I think he's been an influence probably, and a stone in the musical era of the 90s. And in Southern California, I know, going to college down there, that a lot of the teens that I met in college loved Oingo Boingo, and I never really got into it because they were just so goofy. But musically, I think it's really solid, like as far as their skill.
There's a duality to him, because he had two different careers. Danny Elfman's music as a producer, or what he was doing as for writing scores and such, was so different than what he was doing with Oingo Boingo. But Oingo Boingo was producing songs for movies as well. Just they were in this sort of new wave style, but like a little goofy.
Yeah, new wave, exactly.
But they had songs, right? The song Stay is one, which I loved, and Just Another Day. I thought those songs were exceptionally good, but not enough of their catalog sounded like that.
Right.
So I felt like Dead Man's Party was more representative of their sound. I had never heard this. The title of it, though, reminded me immediately of the song of the same name, came out at the same time, too. Go West did a song called We Close Our Eyes, which was a pretty big hit worldwide. Modest hit in America. But
that's so funny.
To me, that was always the song. When I see this on paper, I always think that's what the song is, but it's not. It's a completely different song.
I have to tell you,
you know,
a
that
stupid
other track?
Story.
Yeah.
I know that because I heard this song, the Oingo Boingo, We Close Our Eyes, on the radio. I'm like, I need to get that. And I didn't know it was Oingo Boingo. And so I go to the store and I find this band, Go West, and there's a song called We Close Our Eyes, and I think that's it. So I bought that album and I took it home and I played it, and I'm like, this is not the song that I heard. And
do you
I
have
was
that
so,
whole album, though, by the way?
I had it, and I hated it because it wasn't what I wanted, and so I got rid of it. So I no longer have it. But I think it's so funny that what you just said.
I got to
like
tell
the
you,
opposite.
Though, this song Call Me on that album is so good. It's very poppy. It's very – well, they did King of Wishful Thinking, which was from Pretty Woman soundtrack. Massive hit. It was a number one song, and it was really their only American. Faithful came out a couple, like in the early 90s, which was also a big hit here. But
okay.
None of their earlier stuff, which was huge in the UK and in Europe, became that popular here. This song, We Close Our Eyes, that other song, I should say, not this one, and Call Me were kind of modest hits, but very good songs on that same album. So I was like, oh, you have a good album that you can go
so
revisit.
That's so funny. I hated that album. Now I have to go back and listen to it.
Yeah, that's one you could find for a dollar or two in one of those bins,
right,
if you look close enough. Oingo Boingo, don't see their music around too often, but this is a phenomenal song. Again, I didn't know it that well. I should now make it a point to just sit with the catalog and see if I find other gems in there, because this one surprised me. I was really enjoying it. And it wasn't like I tried to follow this with another song that I think sounded similar. I went in a different direction completely.
Oh, yeah.
For the last choice, Band of Horses Factory, which I'm hoping you had a chance to listen to.
I did, and I was very intrigued, actually. I had not heard of this band before.
Very and sentimental, right?
Yes, and I like their sound, actually, because this was in my musical black hole. I think these guys are from the 2000 era, and I only heard of the name, maybe vaguely familiar, but couldn't have placed the sound. So this is all new to me, and I like the laid back, somewhat like rockabilly country twinge that they have in their vocals.
Yeah.
Like not twang, but
me
just
too.
A little twinge. And their harmonies, very beautiful harmonies. I like their album art. I listened to a few songs, and everything sounded so right for me at this time. So I think this is a new discovery for me that I will want to listen to more of them. I like their minimalist sound, but still like a warm, cozy feel. If that makes sense.
Yeah. There's a My Morning Jacket feel to them too, where you're not sure if it's, you know, if they want to introduce more country sound to their music.
Right.
But they never really, they resist that urge, but they just bring enough of it in.
Yeah.
You know, the classic exactly. country sound, I should say. Not so much. What people think of country now is not really country. So
right.
classic country.
Right. Yeah. Like you're in a meadow, right? And that's the feeling I get when I hear this music slightly. And so it's not enough to say, oh, I have to be. It feels a little bit like, I don't know how I think Grateful Dead people like that their music in that it's got a sound and a vibe. And it really doesn't matter so much what they're saying, but I know it matters to you. I like just the sound overall. So I will definitely want to dig a little bit deeper into Band of Horses. And this song that you chose, I like the beat. It feels a lot like you know, this is the end of our show, but it feels like the end of a song they play at the end of a concert. Like, I don't know, it's got that kind of end of the
grandiose.
End of show. Yeah, exactly. Well said.
When I started dating my ex-wife back in the day, I talked about this a bunch on the show, how there were certain artists at that time that we listened to a lot, mutually loved. Like The National was one of them, My Morning Jacket, so on. Band of Horses is one of those that had important releases around the time we started dating. And I used to do a lot of driving. I used to have to drive back and forth to see her. She was away at school. So it was like a very... long distance periods of time.
Yep.
Yeah. And I used to do in those drives, we'd listen to playlists I was making or CDs by these bands, and Band of Horses was a big one. And I remember when this album came out, it really, this was the first song on the album, and everything about what he was saying was relatable to what I was going through and what we were going through in our relationship. So it's sort of like being away, but always thinking of you. And
so it's
the littlest
the soundtrack
thing,
to your relationship, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like the littlest thing, I could find a way to link it back to you. You know, like he's saying, I was looking it over on a snack machine. I was looking at a snack machine trying to make my choice. And I started thinking of you with a candy bar, you know, like picturing her eating a candy bar. Like it's just how those things happen when you first fall in love, you know? And a lot of those songs resonate in a weird way with me now at this stage of my life, where when I go back to them, I'm automatically placed in that car, making that drive, listening to that song. So it's a confusing feeling, but it is also like comforting to go back and hear them with fresh ears. And that happened to me with this song. And I thought it'd be fun to share it with you and kind of listen to the journey that is the lyrics behind it as well. So,
yeah, that's cool. You get a little reminiscence, but you also get a second chance, a second take at it. I like that.
Yeah, I've had enough space now that I could kind of make it what I need it to be now. But I would say it's got that soft rock sound that I'm a big fan of from the 70s. Like, I love such like Dan Fogelberg and Bread and, you know, even Neil Young and those type of softer moments of Crosby, Stills, Nash. Yeah. I really like that sound. It's so soft and sentimental and cozy to me. This exists over there with Neil Young, Dan Fogelberg, My Morning Jacket, and so on. So,
yeah, I want to put these guys on the next time I'm working on a car in the garage for hours, because that's going to help me feel like safe.
You're very lucky you get to experience that, brother, because you'll have your moment with Band of Horses as I did back then. So the last set is going to be Oingo Boingo, We Close Our Eyes, 1987. That's Willis's choice. And then it will go into my choice, Band of Horses from 2010. The track is called Factory, which is the lead track on that particular album. What's the album title again? Infinite Arms, is it? Yeah, Infinite Arms.
Infinite Arms, yep.
All right, so that's it. Anything else you want to add before we play them?
No, I just want to say this. I think this has been a really cool, yet another eclectic mix. And I feel like it went from powerful emotion to non-emotion, like in technical. And it's always a journey that we never really know how it's going to end until we get through it and listen and say what we're going to say. So it's been a good one, I think.
And I always think this when I'm listening to the show, but I hope maybe people who listen to this might have learned something they didn't know about something about one of these artists or one of these songs or whatever. I hope somebody learned something, because that's what I always love when I watch and listen to programs like this. Hopefully that happened for everyone listening, or at least you got to enjoy the experience of these 10 songs. And Willis, we will be back next week. We'll have another full brand new show for everyone to enjoy. But for now, our last two tracks on show 106. Thank you so much, brother. And we'll see you next week on the Deep Dive.
All right, take care, everyone.
This is The Deep Dive with Greg and Willis.
The elevator.